Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, really excited to have you back today. And I'm really excited about the guest today. We did a little conversation beforehand. And I've always found in life that when you suffer with somebody, you instantly get connected with them. But when you go through a similar type experience, even separately, you feel tied to someone. And our guest today is also a graduate of Kokoro, Silphic Kokoro Camp, which we'll talk a little bit about today, and has done some really incredible things outside of that, which I'm excited to talk about. So Brad, before we jump into the topic at hand, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and kind of where you've got to the point you are in your life today.
Yeah, thanks, Marcus, and I really appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to this. So for your audience, I'm Brad Ritter. I hail from the Midwest, born and raised in Indiana. I live about 30 minutes south of Indianapolis. I'm a family man at heart, so I've been married to my wonderful wife, Leslie, for almost 17 years, and I've got two awesome kids, Brody and Hallie. Hallie's my oldest. She's 11. Brody's 8. We actually just got out of Taekwondo together, so that's why I've got my little Taekwondo shirt on.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what I'm all about, man. I'm all about family and helping others, really helping others out. So at the heart of it, that's behind everything I do.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's a great premise. And I love that you led with your love and commitment to your family. As you know, that's a big piece of the whole enchilada is finding balance. It's achieving. Most people get so focused on achieving in one area of life that their other areas of life fall in shambles. And I love to see you have that balance. And I love that you just came from Taekwondo. I'm a big martial artist myself. So I love that tie. Another feather in our cap of things we got in common here.
Oh, that's cool. What do you take?
So right now I'm really focused on Muay Thai kickboxing and jiu-jitsu.
Right on.
At a local, the best MMA gym in Utah, One Hit MMA is where I train right now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I spent a good hour of my day today getting punched in the face at sparring. So,
nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I love it. We kind of found it by accident. I had a buddy that was into it, and then originally my son wanted to do it. He signed up. COVID hit.
Yeah,
and he had to learn on video, which trying to get a 5-year-old at that time to do a 30-minute class on video just wasn't happening. So I started participating.
Yeah,
and I fell in love with it. So I was like, well, the hell with this. I don't want to be one of those parents on the sideline. I'm going to jump in there, man. So I got on the mat and then my daughter joined. So it's been one of the coolest things that you can do as a parent. So if you got kids and you're looking for ways to grow with them, learn with them, grow grit, all that good stuff, martial arts is definitely where it's at.
Well, I agree. And I think there's so many underlying lessons to what martial arts is all about. It's not, and particularly people think of MMA particularly as just two brutes in a cage, but there's so much discipline in the sport, and really there's an art to it that once you start leaning into it, it actually is a thing of beauty and actually plays into what we're talking about today with grit. Like you have to have grit to really excel in martial arts. So that's cool. So talk to me a little bit about, let's go back to how you and I originally got connected, because you know, we connected through Facebook because of our ties with Silphic and Kokoro. Tell us a little bit about what Kokoro Camp is for our listeners and what year you did it.
Yeah, so I did it way back in 2015. So I was class 38, which, man, I think they've got like 60 of them or something now. It makes me sound old, but yeah. So Kokoro Camp, for those listeners, if they don't know, it's based off of Navy SEAL Hell Week. And I say based, loosely based. So I want to throw it out there. I don't want to be a Navy SEAL. That's not, I'm too old for sure. Like that's not what I want to do. But I really, I've always respected the military. I got a lot of buddies who are in the military. I personally never served as a civilian, but I'm a patriot heart. And I always kind of wondered, man, could I measure up? You know, who am I when someone completely tears you down and test you, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally like that. And Kokoro Camp, like I said, is based on Navy SEAL Hell Week. This version is just over 50 hours straight with just zero sleep and just constant beatdowns that they like to call evolutions.
Yeah.
And it was just aside from literally getting married and having kids, it was number 3 for me as far as the most impactful things I've ever done in my life.
No, I agree with you. And I knew it was going to be an incredible experience going in, but I didn't understand the impact it would have after the experience of what it did for me mentally. And it's almost like I looked at the world through a new lens after that, of what was possible.
Yeah, it completely shattered, you know, the limitations that you put on yourselves, because we all do that. I mean, I think that's just human nature. We all have that self-dialogue, that internal dialogue, and maybe tries to talk you out of doing certain things, or you know, limits begin where visions end type of thing. And when you do something like that and you prove to yourself what you can endure, man, that's what I tell people. I was like, what you see right now is version 2.0. Man, I wasn't always like this. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I was not like this in my early 20s. I was very selfish and very lost. And Coral Camp helped me really find a purpose ultimately. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, now I get to kind of live that out, because I just, at the end of it, I just love serving people and helping people out, trying to find their version of, you don't have to go to Kokoro Camp, but, you know, find your own school of grit is what I call it. So,
yeah. And I love that. I'm excited to get into the conversation around your book. You just said a sentence that kind of was, you know, when you hear that little sentence, we're like, oh man, that makes a lot of sense. You said limits begin where vision ends. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you picked that up from somewhere else or if that's something that you penned.
I, you know what I did. And I love to give credit is due. So I follow a guy named Pat McNamara out there. He's got a great Instagram channel. So Pat Mack's former Delta Force operator and just all around badass. So
yeah. Thanks, Pat. I love that. Limits begin where vision ends. Cause I, you know, I get the opportunity. You're probably in a similar situation where I get to coach a lot of people, particularly in the entrepreneur space, of people that are trying to get to the next level. And it's so interesting to me how often they want to blame things for their non-success. Why can't I get to the next level? It's because of this, or I'm going to blame this person in my organization, or because the economy is like this, or whatever it is. And it really is. It has more to do with their ability to see beyond the problem, to see past the problem, so they can get through what's right in front of them. So you said that, I was like, man, that's pretty clever. What does that mean to you when you hear that? Why did that resonate with you when you first heard that, to the point where now you're regurgitating it back out to me?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I didn't set big enough goals for myself, whether they were, you know, revenue related or whatever it is you're working on. It's very easy just to kind of, okay, I'm going to make a goal. But a lot of times those goals aren't big enough. You can probably get those fairly easy. So go bigger, you know, do something that scares yourself. Find that big, audacious, hairy goal. Just something that's just going to, you say it out loud or you tell someone, and it's like, I'm already sweating, man. Blood pressure's going up. Like, woo, that's where you want to be. Cause that's where the growth happens, man, is leading into that discomfort.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I tell people all the time, as I'm coaching them through setting their goals, I'm like, do you feel a little sick to your stomach right now?
Yeah.
Like, not that you're sitting there puking and you're already sick, but you feel a little sick, like, oof.
Yeah.
Can I pull this off? Then you're thinking big enough. You always got to be a little queasy, or you're too comfortable.
You're too comfortable. And it's a good practice. You know, people can practice doing that, whether it's through, you know, physical training or, like you said, at work, doing, going back to the work thing, you said something really, really interesting too. And ownership is what came to mind when you were talking about people wanting to blame others, whether it was the economy or whatever. Yeah. And, I feel a lot of people are very quick to pass the buck and just like, oh, that's not my fault. Or they blame the previous person or their boss, or like, do something about it. Do something. Don't just complain. Yeah. If you're going to complain, offer a solution.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually think that was an unexpected lesson for me in Kokoro, was how quickly I would get tied to my boat crew and the people around me, because it became apparent very quickly. Like, in the workforce, people are very good at hiding. They're very good at figuring out how do I do the least amount without being noticed and kind of fit in and never really get called out. Like, within minutes, like, people don't understand, within the first 20 minutes of Kokoro, that those people were already being singled out. I mean, it became apparent very quick.
Yeah, those cadre are, they're masters at their craft of their agents of transformation, and there is nowhere to hide. I mean, that is by design, and you're absolutely right. They're going to, you know, that first evolution's breakout, and it's crazy. It's to mimic chaos. Can you take direction? Can you figure out what you're supposed to do while being sprayed in the face with a hose and people yelling at you and screaming and you're doing all kinds of calisthenics? So yeah, absolutely. It's very, that to translate that into the business world, a lot of people will just want to be the gray man, you know, so to speak. They don't want to blend in.
Yeah.
You know, stay underneath that radar. And the, generally, my experience is the bigger the company, the easier it is to do that because there's all those layers of management, all that good stuff. And people kind of become pros at hiding.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you get caught, though, usually.
Usually. And I think you either get caught or everyone around you kind of gets comfortable and accepts it. Yep. And it, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs. And as we're having this conversation, it starts to make me think like, okay, who have I allowed to hide within my own organization that... Yep. Because it's easier. It's easier to let them, they're doing okay. It's easier to let them hide within my organization because it takes some effort to replace them. It takes some effort to go find the person that is the right person, particularly when they're doing okay, right? It's easy to get rid of someone when they're failing miserably, but when they're doing okay and just doing enough that it's that the pain of changing it out seems harder, but the reward of it, when like, again, going back to the Kokoro, when our boat crews finally came together, it almost took the full 50 hours before all of a sudden we were like, okay, throw anything at us.
Yeah. Same here. So,
yeah. But when you do it, it's game changer. Like imagine whatever your initiative right is right now, as you're listening to this, whether it's you're launching a new product, you're building a new team, you're making a new hire, whatever that is. I think we need to recommit to getting those people around us that are as committed to the goal and whatever it takes to accomplish the goal around us.
I think that can really start in the interview process. You know, like I don't really necessarily care. I mean, I do care what your past background is and whatnot, but I care more about who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you stand for? What are you passionate about? What do you like to do outside of work? Because man, I realize it. This is probably a job for you.
Yeah.
Not for me, but it is for you. And I want to make sure that you're happy and fulfilled. You know, and that's what's starting to build that good culture, good team culture. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been missing a lot, at least in my experience within corporate America in the last, you know, 15, 20 years. It's been turn and burn. You know, you're only as good as what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
Last year didn't mean anything. It's all about, you know, making this year's number or whatever.
Yeah.
And what are you seeing? It's the great resignation. People are like, I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. I'm going to do something else.
Yeah. And they're generally not looking for, because most people are they can make a demand to make more money in their current role. It's not that they're seeking more money somewhere else. Generally, it's they're seeking a better lifestyle, a better acceptance.
Work-life balance is the big thing now, especially with, you know, working at home. A lot of people are working at home. They don't want to go back to the office. And guess what? I don't blame you. And you don't have to, because I've worked at home since 2003.
Yeah.
So it's totally doable.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful shift if you'll accept it for what it is. So I want to take one step back before Kokoro. Were there things that you were like doing to really push yourself outside your comfort zone before Kokoro, where you're like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And then ultimately ended up at Kokoro? Or
yeah. I wasn't doing a whole lot of what I would say like mental toughness training or working on my emotions. That kind of came afterwards through their sister company, Unbeatable Mind. Mm-hmm. But I was just working out nonstop. When I, you know, when you sign that dotted line or you sign up for a race and there's that date, like it's coming, man, that was it for me. And I had 6 months. I signed up in January. I think, yeah, my camp was in July. So I roughly had 6 months, man. And I was working out, you know, 2.5-3 hours pretty much every day religiously, but I would just find an extra way to make it suck. So an example of that could be, you know, if it's night, everybody likes to run outside. Well, if you're a runner, everybody likes to run outside. Let me press it with that.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to run outside when it's nice. You know, it's 70, it's sunny. So, you know, try to make it suck. Like put your t-shirt in cold water, put your t-shirt on, go out and run, or, you know, close your mouth to force yourself to breathe out of your nose. Cause people, you're supposed to actually breathe through your nose, not necessarily your mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of this too, being, you know, big mouth breather. So just things like that, little tactics, little tricks just to make it suck even worse. Cause you know what you're getting into. There's tons of videos out there. You can see like prior classes, what they went through, and they change it every class. So it's like, you know, don't go in thinking, you know, what's coming next. Cause I assure you it's not. And, I mean, even my book, like it details what I went through, but I went out as a support, which was really cool. Last year, I got to help out on the other side, which was awesome. And it was completely different than what I went through. Like, most of the evolutions were completely different. The cadre had changed over. Yeah. So it was just really cool to see.
That's awesome. So you graduate, how many people graduated with your class?
We started with roughly 50. I think 50 signed up, 50 signed up, 46 showed up. So I don't know what happened to the other four. I don't know if they just, you know, got scared, got hurt, whatever, rolled. And then out of those, we had 22 people. So we lost about 50%. And I'm 42. At the time, I was 35. And I was one of the oldest ones there, man. They were calling me grandpa because I was starting to get a little gray. I got a lot more gray hair now, but I was just starting like the gray hair on the side. And yeah, they were calling me grandpa.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. There were a bunch of dudes there. We didn't have any women, which was a bummer because, man, those women that sign up and make it through, they're badasses, right?
We had the pleasure of talking to a few of them.
Yeah. And so we had all dudes, but I'd say a third of our class, they were actually going into special forces. So they got treated just a little bit harsher. And what they did was they took a black magic marker and put a big X on the back of their neck. So they were marked, literally.
Yeah, that's awesome. We had some of those guys in our class too. And about the same pass rate, a little under 50% passed. And so you with your graduating class, you come out of this, your view on life is different. And then tell me the process that went from graduation of Kokoro, I'm looking at life differently, and then you create School of Grit. What was the timeline before that happened? And walk me through that.
Yeah, it was a process, man. It didn't just instantly happen. So I graduated, and as Commander Mark Devine, who, you know, this is his baby, Kokoro Camp, Seal Fit, Unbeatable Mind. He addresses each class when you graduate. So I'm not too sure what he told you all. Mm-hmm. I remember exactly what he told us. He asked us a question and it haunted me for a long, long time, long time. And he said, what's next? What's next? What are you going to do next? Now that you, I'm thinking, what's next, man? I just dedicated 6 months of my life to crushing this. You know, I thrived out here, graduated. I'm just thinking about getting some sleep, man. What do you mean? What's next? You know? And that really hit me on the flight home. So I literally took out a notebook and in about 15 minutes, because I crashed pretty quick once I got on the plane after being up probably more like 65, 70 hours at that time.
Yeah.
I basically wrote the outline for my book is what it was. And it actually, even let me back up a little bit. I never designed or set out to write a book. I was just going to literally handwrite or type up a couple pieces of paper and like give them to my wife and kids just so that they knew like what their dad went through in case anything ever happened to me. Yeah. Or, you know, it could be like a family legacy type thing that gets passed down from, you know, generation to generation or whatever. That was my idea.
Yeah.
But the more I started talking to people about this, because I let everybody and their brother know that I was going. So everybody was asking me and wanting to know all the stories, and man, did I love telling them. And I heard it multiple times, like, dude, this could be a book. Like I would read it. And I'm like, really? So then that started, got me thinking about the book piece. And like I said, I graduated in 2015. It's 2022 now. So between there, man, I was trying to fill that void from graduating from something like Kokoro Camp, which you think you know, but you really don't know until you go through it. It's just one of those life events, right? Probably like fighting cancer. Thank God I've always been healthy, but you know, someone who's fought cancer, let's say, like, they know, they've been there. They've gone through the shit, they know. So it's kind of like that. So I'd sign up for different physical events and try to fill that, but man, nothing measured up. So I did like a 50 mile trail run. I did another like couple day adventure. All sorts of things. And they were fun. They pushed me, but man, nothing pushed me like that. And I kept going back to like one of my biggest lessons out there, because there were so many. And that was service to others is really what I learned out there, because you will not make it through that weekend alone. You have to rely on your team, and you got to swallow your pride, swallow your ego, and ask for help. And I wasn't really good at that for whatever reason, you know? So I joined a community for dads called the Dad's Edge Alliance, run by my good friend, Larry Hagner. Shout out to Larry. He's got an awesome community over there. And I'll never forget it. He had a podcast. I was listening to a podcast. He was actually on Mark Divine's podcast. This is what got me going. And he's talking about, you know, being a dad. And I just felt, I didn't think I was terrible as a father, but I knew I could do better. Yeah. Like I wasn't bringing my A game like I was to other aspects of my life.
Yeah.
You know, common theme, right? Within your community. Yep. And he's, I don't remember everything he talked about, but I specifically remember him talking about coming home and being dad when you come home. Cause I would traditionally come home and still have on my work attire, whether it was, you know, suit and tie, whatever. I'd still be in work mode and the kids would just be glad to see me. And I'm still thinking about all the freaking fires I got to put out and shit and all the work I got to do tonight. And it was really stressing me out. So man, his message really hit home. It hit home so much that I reached out to him, man. I reached out to him. And we ended up having dinner in my hometown. That dinner lasts about 3 hours. And I was asking him, like, hey, man, what's like, what do you want to do with this podcast? And he was talking about having this membership community for dads where we like do life together and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, this sounds epic. And he's like, yeah, I can't do it alone, though, man. I'm going to have to hire some coaches or something. And I said, I'll do it, man. I'll be your first coach. So he hired me be his first coach within the Dad's Edge Alliance. I did that for about 5 years, man.
Cool.
So I did 5 years of kind of like coaching and it was all on Zoom. None of this was in person. I mean, dude, we had people from all over the world join and it was amazing what happened when you get strangers together and they get to talking about their lives, especially adversity. And man, we've heard everything from, you know, addictions to divorce to disease. I mean, you name it. We've literally dealt with everything. And just for me as like the facilitator and coach, just to sit back and watch the other dudes jump in and lift each other up. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like this has been missing. Like my dad, when he was growing up, did not have this. Did not.
Yeah.
He was not raised that way. He was raised to like hold all your emotions in. You never let anybody know what you're thinking. And I want to call quick bullshit on that. You actually need to. I'm not saying you need to be completely vulnerable and air all your dirty laundry, but don't be afraid to ask for help. Going back to one of those lessons at Kokoro Camp. So that's what started me on my journey of coaching. Like I said, I did that for about 5 years. And then I sort of spun off. I still talk to Larry all the time, but I kind of spun off. And that's how I started School of Grit. I was doing my own style of coaching because I've since become certified through Unbeatable Mind, which is Mark Divine's Five Mountain training program, which is phenomenal. That was a year long. I did that during COVID. And I just want to serve people and help people build their grit and reach their full potential. And then, oh, by the way, in between that, I did finish the book and that launched in March. So I feel like I've been talking for about 10 minutes, but that's the quick, like from 2015 to 2022.
Yeah. Those are some great nuggets in there. And I appreciate sharing that. What a cool journey coaching those dads. I do want to focus on the School of Grit. And I love that word grit. And I think it's, for some people it's overused of what grit is. So I wanted to get an idea from you, like, how do you define grit? And what is it? And then I want to move the conversation into like, how do you acquire it? Cause it's not, I don't think it's something you either have or you don't.
I totally agree 100%. So grit has lots of definitions. It's one of those weird words in the English language that has all sorts of different meanings and tenses and people use it different ways. And it's not right or wrong. So if you look it up, you're going to see like in Webster's dictionary, you're going to see grits like, you know, perseverance or resolve, strength of character, that type of thing. Angela Duckworth, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's a psychologist. She wrote the book Grit. It's phenomenal.
It's
one of those books. Actually, I saw her TED Talk. Her TED Talk changed my life, man. That was another thing that got me really spun up to start doing what I'm doing. But she says it's the power of passion and perseverance to achieve a long-term goal. That's how she defines grit. So I just kind of put my own spin on there. And I say grit's uncommon perseverance in the face of adversity, backed by a strong why to achieve a goal. So there's a lot of stuff in there, man.
Yeah.
But there's stuff in there for a reason. So like uncommon perseverance in the face of adversity, backed by a strong why to achieve a goal. All right. There's like four different parts in there. The uncommon perseverance, I think that's what most people think of with grit, but I don't think it really comes to light until you face adversity. You know, you're strumming along, you're having a good day, you're not really facing anything. Are you really showing a lot of grit? Probably not. Just a nice little easy day. as soon as you, that first problem comes in, whether it's an email, your spouse, your kids, or whatever, it's like, game time. Here we go. This is what we've been training for, right? Backed by a strong why. All your goals need to be go back, like just like Kokoro Camp. Why did you want to do Kokoro Camp? They were very strong on that. You actually had to write out a paragraph like what your why is. And, you know, you're trying to achieve something long term, whether it's whatever, working out, losing weight, writing a book, doing a podcast, starting your own business, you name it.
I love that. And I love how you broke that down and put a lot of thought into it. It's and I love looking at grit in a way of it's something that it's not something that shows up all the time, but it's something you can draw on when you need it. But if you didn't do the work to earn the grit, you cannot draw on it.
You can't buy it. I love things you can't buy that you have to earn, and the rent's due every day, man. You know, yeah. Like it doesn't get, I mean, does life get a little bit easier? I would say yes, but does it ever get easy? Hell no.
Yeah.
No, because you're gonna keep pushing yourself, man. You know, you're always trying to do different things or helping others. And yeah, it's never easy, but at least you've got the tools and the tactics and you got a lot of stuff built up. So
yeah, I love that. And I love the way that you put in there uncommon perseverance in the face of adversity. Cause for me, like there's weeks of my life where I've got the right people in place. We're hitting our goals. Yeah. Things are going. And it's like, man, this is a walk in the park. Guess what? I don't need grit in those weeks.
Right.
But when I hit that, the next challenge, that person is leaving the organization. This new competitor came into town, whatever it is, it's all of a sudden, that's when I need the grit.
Yep.
And if I haven't done the work to build the bank account of grit, I'm not going to be able to persevere through that adversity. I'm actually going to buckle to it. And so let's talk about how do you acquire or increase your grit so that when you are faced with it and you turn around to say, okay, I need to tap into this, you know, it's there.
Yeah. I get asked that a lot. Like what's the easiest way to grow grit, or what's some practices I can do. And there's a ton of them, but I kind of loop them into five different areas. So I go with the mental, physical, emotional, your intuition, and then finally, like your warrior spirit. And there's ways you can build grit inside of all those. So let's just start with something simple. I hate waking up early. I always have. I still have to set my alarm. But that would be the very first place that I recommend to anyone trying to grow their grit is to do things that suck, but are good for you. So that's pretty important. Don't just do things that suck that are going to harm you. I'm not trying to put you in harm's way, but you know that are good for you. So is waking up early in the morning, is that bad for you? Probably not. And you know, depending on what time you go to bed.
Yeah.
Let's just preface it with that. So what do you do when you wake up early? You spend that time on you. So I don't care if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe you get a whole hour, which is phenomenal if you can do that. But you spend that time on you, and you go through your own morning ritual or morning practice. So I'll share mine if you want to hear it. It's pretty simple. Please. So the first thing I do when I wake up, I wake up at about 5 right now. I slam water. Why do I slam water? You're dehydrated. You're always dehydrated from the prior night. So, and I love coffee. I'm a coffee snob, but I drink water first. Cause what does coffee do? Coffee dehydrates you. So get that coffee in you, right? Get those juices going. And then I start with about a 10-minute breath practice. So I do, or meditation, whatever you want to call it. And then I do another 10 minutes of active stretching. So I've got this like active stretch / yoga routine that I do. And while I'm doing that, I'm reciting just different mantras that I've come up with over the years. So I can just get my mind rolling. And that allows me to get in that that state of mind that I need to be in to go attack the day and go crush it. Because guess what? Adversity's knocking. It's absolutely not. It's going to hit. It's not a question of if or when. Like something's going to happen that day. You know, it's not all peaches and cream. So if I can do that, if I can go through that routine, man, that just sets me up to have a really, really good day. And it's not rocket science. It really isn't. And something as simple as waking up early is so hard for many people, because a lot of people hit snooze. And I'm sorry, if you hit snooze, you just lost the first battle of the day. So you got to really master that I know it. When you're tired and you don't want to do it, like, how do you do it? You just do it. You gotta focus. You have that internal dialogue with yourself, or find an accountability partner. You know, what would be really cool is if your spouse, if you guys are on the same page, if you're married and on the same page, you want to wake up at the same time, that's the best. Cause then you can help each other out, you know, get up. So.
Yeah. I love that. And I use this all the time with people when they feel like I'm just not winning. I feel like nothing's going right. They're expecting me to like focus on like getting their goals and everything in place. I'm like, let's just create one win. Like set an alarm for exactly what time you're going to wake up tomorrow and do it. And you start, what better way to start a day than making your first commitment?
Have you ever read the book or seen the speech, Make Your Bed?
Yeah. Yes. Great.
One of my favorite ones, Admiral McGraven. Awesome. But I love it. I encourage any of your listeners to go out there. He obviously being a former SEAL, big on waking up early. I forgot to mention that. I always make my bed too. Because I do that as a result of, I used to not make my bed because I was like, why do I make my bed? It's just going to be messed up the next day. But there's something about getting that first task complete.
Done, yeah.
Like you just said, you know, what went well? Well, it's like, well, I made my bed. I'm like, well, that's actually pretty big because most of us probably don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what one of those mantras I tell myself still all the time, because like when I get out of the pattern of winning the morning, I tend to like not be a morning person, but I tell myself all the time, win the morning, win the day. Win the morning, win the day. If I can win the morning and really follow my routine in the morning, there's a pretty high likelihood I'm going to win the day.
Absolutely, man. And then it's like the earlier I wake up, I know it's hard, but just the better you feel. And by noon, you will have done more than most do all day, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And part of that is not only what are you going to do, but it's also getting very clear on what you're not going to do, right? Because there's some of our biggest time wasters we adopt in the morning. Social media is one of them, right? A rule for me is like, do not, I love social media for what it does for my business, but I'm very purposeful of like, it is not part of my morning routine. Like it's very, you get sucked in there and then you lost the morning.
Oh yeah. And I'm right there with you. I use social media specifically for my business, but like, that's it. And it never fails. I have a Facebook account. I don't have it on my phone by design. So if I got to go to Facebook, it's on my laptop.
Oh, smart.
That's helped, but I still get lost. I mean, they don't design those user interfaces for nothing. They're designed to trap you in, man. I'll go in for a specific reason. And 20 minutes later, it's like, oh, crap. What was
I think it's the kids of the people that designed casinos where you can't find your way out are the ones that designed the social media platform to like suck you in.
100%, man. Absolutely.
So I think that's a great example of how to acquire grit. Because one of the biggest thing I want to get across to our listeners today is, even though we're talking about you and I both graduating from Kokoro and doing these other big endurance events, that you don't need to go sign up for one of these tomorrow to start acquiring grit. It's these small little bucket deposits add up over time. Part of my personal mission vision statement, which I have up on my wall, says the most difficult tasks yield the most valuable lessons. So that's something I say to myself every morning, the most difficult tasks yield the most valuable lessons, which helps me embrace difficult things when most people shy away from them. Cause it's like, if I want the lesson, I've got to embrace the task, right?
Yep.
And I think there's little things that in our all of our lives that seem difficult. Maybe they're not going to begin to your point and put you in harm's way. But is there something that you can embrace today that the lesson on the other side of it far outweighs the pain you're going to go through? And you just made a big deposit into your grit bank account.
Yep. Get out there and break things. And don't. That's another thing I try to really impress on my kids as well. Is failure being a good thing? Because I didn't have that mindset for a long time. You know, you wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be perfect at everything, get it right away. And, you know, I would fail at something and, you know, kind of throw myself a pity party or whatever, but not anymore. That has completely changed. So, you know, a question I like to ask my kids at dinner, we try to do this every time, is what'd you fail at today in school? Because I want them to push themselves, you know, and just constantly be like a lifelong learner is hopefully the goal.
Yeah, I actually really love that question. I'm going to steal it because I think that switches it for your kids to go from he's really asking me what I overcame and how did I overcome it, not really like I'm a failure, but it changes the way they look at failing. I think that's
brilliant. Because if you ask them, hey, how was school? Good. Every time without fail. I'm like, all right, cool. So what'd you fail at today? Okay. I see where you're. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, brilliant. So cool. So I want to start wrapping up our conversation here. We could go for hours. Like you're definitely my kind of person. We could talk through this stuff for days, but to respect the timeline that I've committed to our guests, I want to start wrapping up our conversation. If you were going to give a couple pieces of advice to entrepreneurs out there who are really focused on winning life at a high level across multiple platforms that are resonating with this message of like, okay, I need to acquire some more grit that's going to help me push through and make those goals. What's a little bit of advice or one or two things that you would recommend to them to like beyond what we've already talked about that they could implement now to start growing their grit and applying it?
Yeah, I'd say self-care is not selfish, especially for you entrepreneurs, because I get it, being a part-time one myself. It's very easy for us because we love what we do or have probably some great deal of passion about this because we started it, right? It's our own thing. But don't forsake your own health for it. Don't chase it, especially if it's just for the money. So what am I saying there? Have some sort of physical workout regime, whether or yoga, whatever. We're designed to move. So get out there and move. Yep. Move every day, right? Absolutely do that. If you've got a family, man, you got a family for a reason. That's, I can't think of a better why. So, but your kids and your wife or your husband, let me ask you a question. How, do you know how kids spell love?
I do. I think I know the answer to this. T-I-M-E.
T-I-M-E. You nailed it, man. So they'll remember when you were around. So if you're chasing whatever it is and you're not around, like that's not necessarily a good thing. So I'll start with that. The reason I'm starting with that is because a lot of your listeners are entrepreneurs and I get it, man. It's very easy for us to work, you know, half days. Like which half of the day do you want to work? 12 hour, you know, at least whatever, but you can't forsake your own health and you can't forsake your family to get there. That's the wrong way to do it.
Agreed. It's interesting how many people when I'm coaching them say, and I ask them like, what are your priorities? My family's my priority. My health's my priority. Let me see your calendar. Guess what's not on their calendar?
None of that.
Family time, workouts, like all it is their appointments, their work appointments.
And I'm glad you asked for their calendar, man, because you got to block that off. You know, if you're blocking off work, you got to make that time. Yeah. So I'd start with that. And then try to find something that sucks every day. Try to do something that sucks every day. And it doesn't have to be huge, but it could just be waking up early. It could be taking a cold shower. It could be walking to work if you're close enough. I don't know. Whatever just kind of sucks, do it. Because what you're going to find, it's going to shape you, man. It's going to mold you. It's going to callous that mind. And you're going to be able to say, bring it on to whatever life throws at you.
Yeah, I love that. And I do have to point out because the majority of our people are listening to this, not watching it on our YouTube channel because we get a lot more listens while people are driving. But I got to point out that you're doing this recording, applying a little bit of grit right now on a treadmill desk, right? He's walking at a 1 mile an hour while we're talking, which again, isn't a huge task. You're not breaking a sweat, but this is an application of grit. It's just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more. Just I'm moving, right? I'm moving.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Brian. Really, really enjoyed our time together. I think you left some really huge nuggets here. If people want to learn more about you, they want to read the book, like where do you want to send them?
Yeah, brother. Appreciate it. So the book's called School of Grit. It's available on Amazon. So that's probably the easiest way to pick it up. Just check out School of Grit, Brad Ritter. You'll see it pop up. Really appreciate all the support there. And then I have a website. It's schoolofgrit.org. It's not .com because someone else owns it. I didn't want to buy it. So it's schoolofgrit.org, but that's got all the different ways to contact me. And if you want to learn more, so I appreciate the support.
Awesome. Look forward to following what you're doing. And again, super in alignment with my thought process. I'd love to see other people out there trying to make a difference in multiple ways. So congrats on all your success. A quick note to our listeners there. One of the biggest things that stood out to me in this conversation is I love your definition of grit. I wrote it down. I'm actually going to really flesh that out in my morning study tomorrow morning to better understand it on a personal level. So I really love that. And still going back to that sentence you said of limits begin where vision ends. And all of us have limits, and that's just human nature. The limits that you're experiencing today are probably different than the limits you had 5-10 years ago, because you were a completely different person. And so I would really encourage our people, myself included, to say, okay, well, if I do have limits that live at the end of my vision, am I thinking big enough? And if I'm not thinking big enough, think bigger. And then once you think bigger, it's who do you need to become to accomplish that vision? That's really the pattern we go through. And what you'll find is you become that person that can accomplish that vision. Guess what? All of a sudden you start thinking, I'm not thinking big enough. And it's this evolution of think bigger, become the person that can accomplish that. And all of a sudden you're thinking, I got to think bigger. What's next? Going back to what Mark Divine said to you, what's next? What's next?
What's next?
All right, everyone. Thank you guys for plugging in. Look forward to you guys being in next week. Be watching for an announcement for some live events we got coming up this fall that I'd love to see you guys plug into. And don't forget, go live life on your terms.